All right, let me jump on into the opening monologue, The Right Side Way, and I'll remind you guys that Stan McDonald, attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee, he is the sponsor daily of The Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about him in just a few minutes. So, over recent days, I've seen several stories that just really got under my skin, to be honest. I mean, just ticked me off. Stories about things that we were told weren't real suddenly turn out to be real. Stories about so-called conspiracy theories are no longer theories. And yet, in each case, we were told that back in the day, if we were to question or to wonder or to dare to speak about these things, it was tantamount to treason. Well, let's talk about lying liars that lie, all right? Let's talk about a violation of the public trust. And one of the biggest I see right now is what we're seeing come out about the January 6th Commission and the things that were said about January 6th events. So some years ago, let me just back up and say this. Some years ago, I saw a legal case as an attorney through from start to finish. It was a case in which one individual had been wrongfully terminated by his employer, and that employer had made certain promises. But when it all came down to it, those employers chose to, you know, axe the employee rather than have to keep those promises. Well, the case turned on a number of legal theories. There was the legal theory of at-will employment versus contract. There was the legal premise of taking adverse action against somebody because of their military service. There was also the question of whether or not the promises made had induced the former employee to forego other options in his life and whether that meant fraud. I mean, the whole thing was a legal case, but more than that, it was a case that really involved actual betrayal. It was a case in which hopes had been lifted and then dashed, and in which friendships proved to only be surface relationships. And the employee who thought that he was not only an employee but a friend, he was cast aside. Eventually, the employee in that case who had been fired was able to prevail. Literally, prevail. A simple mediation resulted in him receiving some things due to him by agreement without having to go any further and not have to go to a jury. So, in that situation, what did it? What was it that was it the overwhelming evidence that lent to the validity of the claims? Was it that the lawyers had such amazing reputations for courtroom prowess? Or could it be the judge was known to favor employment law victims? Nah, the answer is no to all of the above. I mean, to be sure, it was a good case. The evidence was fairly strong in the terminated employee's favor. The judge was a good one, but he was also known to be fair and to evenly apply the law. The real thing that drove the case to a successful conclusion was, wait for it, shame. You heard me right. The real crushing blow to the defense, to the employer who had fired the employee, the real crushing blow to them was the realization that they might be able to argue their positions legally, but they could not make themselves look good in front of a jury. They knew that they themselves and their business and their good name would have to stand in front of a jury of their peers and try to explain with a straight face why they felt they could do the things they did. Why, even though they might have had some kind of inkling of legal authority in their favor, that they could just ignore the fact that everyone would see that they had lied to somebody. Shame is what did it. Shame is what brought them to their senses. Or at the very least, shame made them question their ability to get away with it. Shame and the sudden realization that other people were going to see through their facade. Shame made them settle the case in hopes that it would go away. You see, there's a lot to be said for allowing a little sunlight to not only expose a stain, but also kind of wash it out. It brings those matters out of the shadows and lays them bare in the hard light of day. That's what moved that case I was talking about to a successful conclusion. And what we've learned most recently in regards to the so-called January 6th insurrection is that we are finally seeing actual sunlight wash over the story that had been thrust on the American public for the last 4 years. And I think shame is finally kicking in. They realize they have no choice but to go with the truth, because people are beginning to see. So in case you haven't heard, let me back up and fill in the blanks for you. You may recall this earlier last year on Monday night, March 6, 2023, 2 years and 2 months to the day after the events of January 6th, Tucker Carlson got the first installment of an expose on an unredacted surveillance video from the Capitol that day. Remember that? Upon taking office and assuming GOP control of the Congress, Speaker Kevin McCarthy, he kept his word, and he released all 41,000 hours of surveillance video that had previously been kept under wraps. Y'all, many portions of the unredacted video that completely destroyed the narrative that had been foisted on us by the U.S. Powers that be in D.C. for the past 2 years prior to that. So completely, so completely destroyed the narrative that I can't help but wonder if the leaders of the House January 6th Commission might not possibly be experiencing some degree of shame today, maybe? Shame at being caught? But look, we know now, add to the fray, as of last night, that the FBI's own Inspector General has now announced that the FBI had nearly three dozen paid informants working the crowd at the January 6th events at the Capitol. Really? Yes. Multiple of those paid FBI informants actually entered the Capitol with the crowd, and yet none of those informants have ever been charged with anything, with anything. So let's get this straight. FBI Director Christopher Wray testified to Congress that his agency had no one in the crowd, but yet it was always something to wonder about. Did they really? Were there people? I don't know. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. You're an insurrection sympathizer. But it was true, though, all along. And the reason why we know these things now is because of the video, their video, and an IG report, their IG report. And I find it very interesting, compelling, really, that 1 month after this election we just had, and 1 day after Christopher Wray announced his resignation as director of the FBI, that suddenly the truth comes out. Could it be that they knew it would come out eventually, and the shame of being discovered later made them settle the case, so to speak? Shame from knowing that the betrayal is now in the eyes of the American public? You see, shame can be a motivator. And I wonder if the members of that commission, January 6th Commission, who so overwhelmingly told us of the awful and heinous attempts by armed citizens to overthrow their own government, might not feel a bit of shame now as the story disintegrates in front of their eyes. Shame from making those stories so bare and unadulterated that people have had their lives completely upended by it. There have been criminal charges and plea deals and trials all occurring that have resulted in people losing their livelihoods, their families, even their freedoms. And I wonder if anyone who perpetrated those falsehoods thought for even a second that, hey, those who have been accused might have a right to see this video that we've been hiding since it includes layer upon layer of exculpatory evidence. Or, hey, the FBI was actually in the crowd, so maybe they have some exculpatory evidence, some testimony, even if you provided it under seal to protect people. But no, they just ran with the lies. But now we can see it. Now we can see it. Make no mistake, this has been a betrayal. It is something that many of us have known in our gut but did not have the videotape yet to prove, and we could feel the gross lies, but we couldn't lay them bare yet in the light of day. We felt like the FBI was in the mix that day, and now we know they really were. And the lies were levied for purely partisan political reasons. The lies were used to send people to jail for the simple purpose of propping up a narrative that violence and mayhem and insurrection were perpetrated, and yet in the bright light of day, we can now see with some kind of morbid fascination, and not a little bit of disgust, as it were, as the Capitol Police in the video were opening doors and waving people in and letting them take selfies and even touring them around to show them the next hallway and how to access the House and Senate chambers. And we know the FBI knew enough, saw enough, and perhaps even participated enough to have dozens of its own paid informants already in the crowd before it started, saying and doing and reporting God knows what. Look, I'm not going to pull punches. We have been lied to again and again on this topic, again and again and again. People who were elected or appointed to defend the public trust, they chose to violate that trust again and again and again. And I'm curious how long it's going to take before the civil lawsuits and the criminal appeals actually begin. Time and effort in court, because the light of day has exposed an entirely different narrative. A narrative that brings a new and different version of events to the forefront. A new narrative that should elicit some feelings of outright shame among the chattering class and the left-wing demagogues who told us that they had our back. It's betrayal. And there should be consequences. And I hope that there are. Because what we have right now are a bunch of gross lies and videotape. And hopefully, a pound of shame. Because lying liars have lied. And it needs to be dealt with. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.